need your daily fix of women's mixed martial arts? From the UFC, Invicta FC, Bellator, and ONE Championship, be in the loop, because Golden State Media Concepts got you covered. Get your fix in women's MMA with Got You Covered on Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
All right, now, thank you for tuning in to the Golden State Media Concepts Women's Mixed Martial Arts Podcast. I'm your host, Tate.
And I'm your other host, Sarah.
You always kind of hesitate.
I know, because I'm never sure. We have this conversation every time. I never know if you're going to introduce me, or I just wait for the look.
I just keep you on your toes. That way, you know what's going on. Or you're prepared for what's going on.
Or I don't know what's going on.
Or maybe I should just let you lead.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I got nothing on that.
So, like, once again, I know, first off, I'm going to apologize to the audience. It's been a little while since we've had an episode, and a lot has gone on. I've had a lot of issues, so, you know, I've had a lot of health issues, so been really affecting my performance lately, but that should be almost behind me. So I hope so. Yes, no crap. Now, hopefully we'll start doing this show on a much more regular basis.
That would be lovely, yeah, because then we don't have to cover, you know, everything under the sun or try to in one episode.
Yeah, I kind of agree. So, and then as I come back and I'm all excited to do the show, I was still late today.
Yes.
And you know why.
I
was glued to the TV because I could not pull away from the OJ probation hearing.
You know, you could have come to the studio and watched it. I was watching it, but I was here.
I know it has nothing, and, you know, I'm just talking just in general. It has nothing to do with women's mixed martial arts or anything, but, man, I was just, you know, it's been... How many years since the original OJ trial?
I think they said 1995, mid-90s, though.
And it's still, like, grabs so many people. It's one of those things where, yeah, you it's that train wreck that just keeps happening, and you just, you know, have to find out what's the next saga in it. It's turned into this long soap opera.
I mean, what's the first thing you think of when somebody says the phrase white Bronco?
Yes.
You know, I mean, maybe not for younger generations, they don't think that, but you can't just say, oh, look, there's a white Bronco without thinking, oh, you know, police chase.
The last thing I think about is a horse. I sure as heck do not think of a horse.
I didn't think of it till you brought it up.
So you don't even think about a Bronco as a horse anymore.
No.
So what we're talking about is that OJ ended up getting probation. Which is, you know, this is not the place to talk about whether you think he should have got probation, whether he did it or did not. It was just one of those things where...
No, it's just a fact. He was approved for probation sometime in October.
Yes, and I could not, you know, I was going to go... I was watching every minute of the, you know, his testimony.
Crazy is it that it was even on TV? I mean, how often do you see a parole hearing on television,
yeah,
especially on ESPN?
Billy Bob's parole hearing is not going to make CNN or ESPN, you know. And I don't know why Billy Bob always gets in trouble and he has to be on parole. But Billy Bob's, you know, parole hearing is not going to happen. Not going to be on there.
No.
So, all right. So
maybe we should talk about, you know, it's the Women's Mixed Martial Arts Podcast. Maybe we should talk about women in mixed martial arts.
And OJ is definitely not a woman.
Nor does he participate in mixed martial arts.
You know, but I bet you a lot of people would, too. You think McGregor, Mayweather, McGregor versus OJ.
OJ's 70. That's a terrible matchup.
You think that, you talk about a circus.
I mean, Mayweather's 40 and everybody's talking about how old he is. OJ is 70.
I'm sorry, that would break all kind of records.
And especially if he knocked McGregor out. I mean, how bad would that be for McGregor's career?
That's it. You know what? No, we're changing this around. OJ versus Cyborg, because we got to make this a women's mixed martial arts event. That's the undercard. It's going to be McGregor, Mayweather. And then the undercard is OJ versus Cyborg. That would pay off all his debt.
You know, this is why no one comes to you for show ideas, because a couple episodes ago, which was several months ago, you were putting together Chop Champion with Tanya Evinger,
right.
Paige Van Zandt, Big Country, and somebody else. But...
Tell me, Black Beast.
Yeah.
Tell me you wouldn't tune into that. Matter of fact,
know.
You brought it back up, and I'm like, I'm ready to watch that right now.
Oh, all right. Maybe you're in the wrong profession. You should be pitching show ideas.
The worst shows of all time. They'd be on like the...
You need the Tate Network.
Oh, with two viewers.
What, you and me?
Oh, wow. Thank you for showing. I was talking about my mom. That's the only person I thought would actually support me on this one.
Mom.
All right. So what do we have going on here?
We have a lot going on, as you know. I mean, there's been a lot happening in the world of women's MMA. Last time we talked about the Cyborg Tanya Evinger fight, and we might talk about that a little bit later on. But Jermaine Duranemi is actually back in the headlines a little bit. She has a fight coming up.
Okay. Do you want to talk about when the fight is, and then I'll
yes.
jump in, or
so
I don't want to cut you off?
She is scheduled to fight Marianne Renault on September 2nd. That's UFC in Edmonton. So coming up in just, you know, like 6 weeks. And she's back to her original weight class. This is what happens when I read the word featherweight and try to say weight class at the same time. It comes out weather class.
All right. All right. So I'm going to start off by saying, and, you know, when you start off by putting the kind of like a little caveat there, that I have always been a big fan of Jermaine Duranemi. A big supporter, Jermaine Duranemi. But this whole thing that went down with her as the featherweight champion, and, you know, first off, it was a controversial win against Holly Holm, which, you know, you could say, you could really make a strong case that Holly won the fight, especially if you take a point away for those late hits after the bell.
Right.
Then, so you win the title in a controversial fashion, and then you kind of disappear, and you refuse. Okay, first off, when you signed to fight Holly Holm for that title, you knew the very next fight was going to be who?
Well, they did somewhat talk about a rematch, but
it's Chris Cyborg. Right. Everybody knows.
I was getting there.
I'm just saying, everybody knows that division was created for Cyborg.
Right.
And so whoever won that title was going to fight Cyborg. And then for her to take the stand that she did not want to fight Cyborg, the fact the way she disappeared. I mean, and if you listen to the show, I mean, Jermaine, I've always supported you. I'm a big fan, but I'm just speaking the truth. I lost a lot of respect, and I also thought the UFC was 150%. It's rare to get to 110, but 150% right to strip her of the title, and it was, you know, it was the right decision.
It was, and just... I don't even know. It, for me, it's the fact that she just disappeared. And it's also the fact that she then came out and said she didn't want to fight Cyborg, when she had to have known that they were going to put her up against Cyborg, when she's, you know, she's signed a contract saying she will fight who they put her with. But then to just disappear and not make any statements whatsoever for months.
At first, it's a hand. It's all this stuff.
Right, there's all this speculation. And then she comes back and she's like, no, I'm not doing it.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
That she knew it going into it. If that was your game plan from the beginning, the minute they announced the fight, they were all asked about Cyborg. I would have, you know, if someone's managing her and they know she has a stand that she has no interest in fighting Cyborg, and let's just say it's a legitimate reason that she thinks Cyborg has taken performance enhancing drugs and has gotten special treatment. Has received a pass, then you should have been saying that from the beginning. You should have made it very, like, known from the beginning that, you know, you don't think the Cyborg deserves to have the title shot, that the true, you know, the true featherweight title is here, not with, you know, the person who you think is cheating. There's a lot of ways that, you know, instead of saying, you know, by controversial decision over Holly Holm, and then they ask about Cyborg, and she's talking about getting her hand checked out, even though, you know, she just fought with the same hand. It looked bad. It was very bad form. Matter of fact, I feel like they should give her the title again just to strip it.
Well, even her statement after she did finally come out, you know, after they stripped her title, because she didn't say anything until, really, the comments about Cyborg, yes, but she really just kind of disappeared. And then after they stripped her title, then she did make a statement on social media. And even that was sort of like, oh, well, you know, I might be done with the UFC anyway. Things are, you know, like, I don't know. It was just very, very, it was a very strange attitude, it seemed like.
Now, okay, here's my question to you on this one is, let's say it's Marion Renault.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes in, and let's just say she just rips through her. Let's just say she looks spectacular, unstoppable. Does the UFC even consider putting her in a title shot contention in any weight class?
Duranamy?
Yes.
I think she would definitely have to fight her way back up. I mean,
I don't, you know what?
You know, I don't think she should have it anytime soon.
You know, and I agree. You know, I don't think, let's say she went on a 3-fight winning streak or a 4-fight winning streak. It wouldn't be enough. She would have to win. She'd have to come across like 8, 9, 10 fights in a row just dominating people. I would pass her over every chance. And I mean, and this is coming from someone who's a fan of hers, mm-hmm. and was, I always thought the person that could give Cyborg the biggest test in the UFC was always Jermaine Duranamy. I had two stands when it came to Cyborg and the best opportunity to upset Cyborg. I thought Jermaine Duranamy because of her being under the radar. Under the radar, she's a, you know, she's one of the most decorated fighters outside, you know, in combat history. I thought she would be the one of the persons. Another one was, I thought, was Megan Anderson. And, you know, Megan Anderson also disappeared and kind of, you know, weird circumstances. She said she has some personal things, and you know, I respect that. Megan has made no misgivings about wanting to fight Cyborg. So I'm gonna give her more of a pass than I give Jermaine Duranamy. But I always thought those were the two fighters that could that had the best shot against her. We'll talk about Tanya Evinger in a second, you know, and that's my little MMA crush. I mean that in a platonic way, but you know what I mean.
Right.
What's your thoughts on what I said?
I know, you know, you've never made any bones about the fact that you thought those were the two fighters that would best take on Cyborg. It's interesting that now they've both been scheduled and they're both, you know, neither of them are going to fight. That's just been a crazy series of events that has led to the Cyborg Evinger fight. But let's go back a little bit. You know, instead of talking about all this kind of background stuff, do you want to talk about the Duranamy Renault fight? I mean, how do you see it's in terms of their record? Duranamy is 7-3, whereas Renault is 7-3-1. So they're very well matched in terms of their record. What do you think in terms of their fighting styles?
Well, I mean, as I just said, Jermaine Duranamy is one of the most decorated fighters in combat history. You know, a long history of, you know, boxing, Muay Thai. She's, you know, her and Holly Holm are two of the, are, it's just, when you look at their entire history, they're Hall of Famers. Maybe not UFC Hall of Famers, but, you know, combat Hall of Famers, both of them are in the Hall of Fame. I don't see, if Jermaine Duranamy has her head on straight and she can withstand a lot of the media backlash and a lot of, you know, even like what I've given her, there's a lot of people that feel kind of the way I feel about her. She's going to get a lot of questions as her fight comes closer. If that becomes a distraction, then she could, you know, she could definitely slip up. But if she's focused, I think it's a good fight to get her back on track. And I could definitely, I mean, I would definitely take Jermaine Duranamy to win the fight. So that's kind of the way I take it. It's just, I've just never. I haven't seen a healthy scratch where a champion has given up the title to not fight someone. I think back to boxing when Ruddick Bowe gave up his title to not fight Lennox Lewis. That's the last time I can think of a champion that just, you know, was a healthy, you know, scratch or healthy retirement. You know, and I'm a big boxing fan, so, and I know you don't follow boxing quite like I do.
Right.
So that concludes. Is there anything else you want to add to that topic?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I like Marion Renault as a fighter, but I don't know what?
I didn't even ask you that. I mean, I didn't mean to cut you. I didn't mean it like that. I didn't ask who do you when you look at this fight and you say this is a fight. This is the next fight coming up. Who are you taking?
I'd still take Jermaine, but with that caveat of what you know what you were talking about, unless things really get into her head, which I suppose is possible.
There could be a lot of pressure
and
on her.
Marion Renault could benefit from that if she also keeps her head in the game. And
Marion Renault is no slouch.
Right.
So I could definitely, I mean, you know, Marion Renault is definitely capable of winning the fight, and I'm looking forward to seeing it, but, I mean, especially with the added questions, you know, when you have a fighter that, you know, being stripped, I think Jermaine Duranamy is going to have something to prove. She's going to have a chip on her shoulder. And sometimes when fighters have a chip on their shoulders, they tend to press and try to do more than what they traditionally will do. And they'll get outside of their game plan, especially early in the fight. And that's when people can get caught.
Right.
So that's why I definitely give Marion Renault a true shot.
I agree.
All right. So this concludes our first segment here, which we're talking about Jermaine Duranamy. When we come back, what are we going to be talking about?
We are going to be talking about Amanda Nunes and Valentina Shevchenko.
Very good. All right. When we come back, stay tuned. We'll be back.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Women's Mixed Martial Arts Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.